And before we get into Congress, and we'll be talking all about the great MAGA Republican, the America First guy, the guy, Mike Johnson. Oh my God, he's just so much better than Kevin McCarthy. He's a real patriot and a real MAGA. You know, just keep that in mind. That's what we were told when this guy came in, you know. Keep that in mind. But before we get to him and Congress's betrayal of the American people, you know, just another act of treason on top of the list. we'll talk a little bit about Israel. Because they retaliated. If you remember, last week we talked about that big Iranian drone and missile attack, quote-unquote attack, on Israel that didn't damage much aside from a single military base in Israel. And I believe it was the base that they launched the airstrike on that consulate from. So the Iranians retaliated, and one of the only places that suffered any sort of meaningful damage was that base, and I think a number of other installations, but that was minor damage. But the target was clear. You know, the message was clear. We can hit you. We can hit anywhere in Israel that we want, and we know where to hit. We know where you attacked us from, and we can hit it when we want to. And this was with 72 hours advance warning and sending in the slowest rockets that the Iranians had. And the Israelis, with all that advance warning and the help of the United States, because we had our destroyers, you know, on the coastline helping out Israeli air defenses. Even with all that advance warning and an ally backing them up, Israel still could not stop these rockets from hitting this military base. So the message is, we don't want a war with you. We had to respond because you bombed our consulate, you know, an act of war. And we should be going to war with you, right? We should be going all out on you. But we're not. We're still going to restrain ourselves. But don't do that stupid shit again. We can hit you, and we will hit you. And when we want to hit you, there's nothing you can do to stop it. We gave you 72 hours advance warning. We sent in the slowest rockets we have. And you couldn't stop us from bombing the base that you launched that air raid from. So next time, when you get ideas about bombing Iran, take a page. Maybe you should take some advice from Biden. Why don't you? Don't. That was the message that they sent. That was pretty gangster, I'll say. If we're gonna give any credit to Iran aside from the brilliance of their grand strategy, which is, not me sucking the gach of the Ayatollahs, but if I was playing a strategy game, and I had access to the tools that they had, you bet your ass that I'd be playing the game like the Iranians are. I would not play the game of strategy like fucking America. Oh my. I can't stand. I won't even get into that. You already know how I feel about American so-called strategy, and especially so-called grand strategy. I won't even get into that. Iran is objectively better at strategy than we are. As it pertains to real national interests, because they've been on the winning side of every conflict in the Middle East. We've been on the losing side of every conflict in the Middle East. I think the results speak for themselves, especially now, when the people that they've been backing up are now in a position where they can take their own initiative and single-handedly create conundrums that can't be fixed by the United States. We can't stop Hamas. Israel can't stop Hamas. We can't stop Hezbollah. Israel can't stop Hezbollah either. And after how many months of the straits being blockaded, we still haven't stopped the Houthis. They still have the straits on lock. And we haven't even touched Iran. And of course, in light of all that, these goofballs are talking about, well, we need to strike Iran It's like, no, you need to sit your ass down and reassess your situation. You can't beat bandits in tunnels. All right? That's the strategic calculus. You can't beat bandits in tunnels. The strategic calculus is you can't beat bandits in a desert with rocket launchers. And I'm talking about Hezbollah now. You can't beat them. And we, the United States, we can't beat bandits in mountain bandit deserts. Mountain desert bandits who have access to drones. We can't stop them from controlling the straits. That's the strategic calculus. So, but before we even talk about a war with Iran, we need to really reassess our situation and give ourselves a reality fucking check. A fucking reality check. That's what we need. That's what we need. Because when you break it down to its most basic terms, desert bandits have bested us. In Afghanistan, in Yemen, in Gaza, and in Lebanon. Desert bandits. We won't even get into October the 7th, all right? We won't even get into October the 7th, where desert bandits in pickup trucks and paragliders pulled off spun the block and won the gold medal in men's block spinning. The greatest block spinning ever pulled off in the history of gang violence. They spun the block on Israel so hard, they killed 1,000 people. They killed 1,200 people in the space of like 72 hours. And then walked back. And no one stopped them. No one stopped them. The Israelis were firing helicopter, big-ass 50 cal helicopter rounds into the cars of their own people. They're burying the cars to bury the evidence. And calling it a memorial. Desert bandits in tunnels. And when they came out the tunnels, they spun the block on Israel, the greatest block spinning in human history. Right? You have desert bandits in tunnels, desert bandits with rocket launchers, desert bandits with drones, the Houthis, and desert bandits with, well, shoot. We don't even have much of an excuse for fucking Afghanistan now, do we? those are just desert bandits. We don't have the best track record fighting these desert bandits, I'm telling you. We really shouldn't be talking about fighting a war with the people who sponsor those desert bandits. This is so silly. Like, just me breaking this down in the most basic of terms. Perhaps a bit of an oversimplification on each account, but even the oversimplification sounds silly. To think that you can't fight bandits here, bandits there, bandits everywhere, but you're gonna fight the kingmaker of the bandits? How does that work? That's like saying that you can't fight a single nomadic herd, right? Not horde, herd. You can't fight nomadic peoples. Like if 30 of them pulled up on you on horseback, you're just getting shit on. You can't beat them. That's like saying you lose every battle against a force of nomadic horsemen of that size. You lose the battle against them every time. But you're going to go take on the Mongol Empire. That's what they're saying here. That's what these goofballs, these light bulbs, these brilliant geniuses, these strategic thinkers are talking about. You can't win against desert bandits, but you're gonna fight the people who make the desert bandits possible. Yeah? It's truly unbelievable. It's truly unbelievable. But the implications of Iran's attack and of our really shitty track record against these desert bandits aside, Israel has retaliated to Iran's retaliation, right? Now, when Iran retaliated, I said Israel should leave well enough alone, right? They shot down all 99%, you know, those couple got through. You know, the message was received, all right? The message was received. Iran doesn't want war. They can hit wherever they want. Don't attack us. Don't do that stupid shit again. The message was received. Israel could take the win. We've shot down all your missiles. You didn't hurt us. Both sides had the opportunity to walk away claiming victory. And that's an ideal scenario. I said Israel shouldn't respond beyond that. Israel responded. And when I heard that they were responding, you know, it was late at night, so early in the morning for them over there. And we were hearing reports of missile strikes in Iran. And we were hearing, like, seven major locations at least, hearing explosions, saying Iran has been hit. But as the night went on and as, you know, the morning came along, we found out that it was primarily explosions caused by Iranian air defenses taking out these rockets. There were explosions over Isfahan and Tehran. So most of this is in, like, the western portions of Iran and the major cities. But thought it was bad. Turns out it wasn't as bad as it sounded, as the news reports were making it sound at the time and when it was breaking news. So the Israelis fired a bunch of missiles, but it was almost like they took a page out of the Iranian book and copy-pasted Iran's homework and turned it in for a grade. Which, in this case, was a really, potentially, a good idea. Way better than the other ideas that are being floated. Like, I took a considerable amount of my time in last episode warning the Israelis, anybody Israeli who bothered listening, you know, warning them against the incredibly dumb ideas being floated of, we need to strike Iran. We need to reestablish deterrence with Iran. Reestablish deterrence with a country that you bombed, whose consulate that you bombed and put them in a position that they had to retaliate against you. That's who you need to reestablish deterrence with. Okay. Just the it's so frustrating and comical and entertaining all at the same time. The straight up lack of any kind of accountability or any sense of accountability on the part of Israel and all her simps. But I'll digress. I said Israel shouldn't respond, but Israel has responded, and I think that this was a pretty good way to respond if you were going to respond at all. Doing it the way Iran did, right? You send the rockets, there's your deterrent, you know, you don't look to do any major damage, because Israel, when they want to do damage, they do. They blow up facilities, they assassinate people, you know. Iran knows that if Israel wanted to do some damage, they could have, and it wouldn't have taken this rocket strike to show that. It took a rocket strike on Israel for the Israelis to wake the fuck up and realize that Iran can do damage. Iran didn't need their reminder, right? But this was, you know, Israel had to do something for our prestige. We can't let Iran have the last say and the last laugh. No, we have to say something back. It's like that one guy who can never shut up. When he gets humbled and he just keeps digging his own grave because he can't shut his mouth, you know. I don't know where I was going with that. But Israel responded. They copy-pasted what Iran did to them, threw it back at Iran. And I think that because they responded in that way, we're actually still at a point right now, especially since Iran shot down so many of these rockets and not much in the way of major damage inflicted upon Iran. I think we are now we're still in a position where both sides can claim a victory. Iran did their retaliation, all right? Israel defended. Israel did their retaliation for the retaliation, and now Iran is defended. So now both sides can sort of say, you threw your best at us, and we shrugged it off. We threw our best at you. You got the message. You know we could have done worse. And you know, we can have the saber rattling, because, of course, there's going to be the saber rattling. But we don't need to have the clash of the swords. We don't need the sabers to clash. And I think that Israel's response still leaves room. And in fact, I think that it alludes to that being the case, where the swords, the blades, the sabers are not going to clash. They're just going to be rattled. right? This is rattling, right? We responded. You threw rockets at us. We threw rockets at you. Because we can't just own up to the fact that we were in the wrong for bombing your consulate. But you threw rockets at us. We threw rockets at you. All the rockets got shot down in both cases. Minimal damage. I think we're still in a position where both sides can claim a victory and walk away. And I hope that's what they do. I hope that this opportunity, which is still there because of the surprisingly responsible way that Israel has retaliated to Iran's retaliation, I think that we still have that opportunity, and I just hope it is not wasted. I hope it is not wasted. Now we wait to see. I think the Iranians are going to take that opportunity, right? Because they've chosen the path of you know, restraint already. So now we just hope that they stay on the path of restraint and don't, you know, take this and say, oh, we have to retaliate now. We can't just, you know, don't fall into the same trap that we were afraid that Israel was going to fall into. And with the Israelis, because they're still a wild card here, they have to not take a lack of an Iranian retaliation to a retaliation to a retaliation. They have to sit there and not go, oh, the Iranians didn't respond to us sending all these rockets. Well, we can send some more rockets, and we're going to send some more and make sure that they know their place. I think cooler heads are going to prevail here. I think cooler heads are going to prevail. I don't think this opportunity is going to be wasted, although I would not put it past the Israelis to waste it. But then again, we don't know how the Iranians are going to respond. We don't know how the Israelis are going to respond. But I think, and I'll emphasize this again, we are still in a good position to where both sides can claim a victory and walk away. And the Israelis were actually responsible in the way that they retaliated here. So credit where credit is due. I think this can be resolved properly. And I do believe that. And that's good news. Shit. That's some good news. Now, granted, Israel's going into Rafah as we speak. So, you know, just immediately counterbalancing that. But we'll get into Rafah next week because, you know, it's like really, really recent and not a lot of concrete news is out. We'll get into that. Perhaps next week. I just want to gather up the facts because, again, when things are that new, you know, we know much. And, you know, I could sit here and speculate, but I'd be speculating on shit that we already know. They're just going to kill a bunch of civilians, and they're going to expect that they should receive no consequences for that. And it's just going to fuel the genocide case against them that South Africa's making. Okay. There's your speculation. But alas, for the issue of escalations with Iran, they're in a good position still. Israel responded responsibly. I think we can walk away from this, and I'll leave that there.